You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonation might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Hey there, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. It is I, DJ Impact, with Sin City Steve and Rob Bocellarity, and welcome everyone to our wrestling talk. As usual, make sure to throw all of your chats into the chat box. YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, we want to read them. We want to get it on. And we appreciate you always for hanging out with us on this Sunday evening. All right, fellas, we're going to get right into it. We usually start off with our too sweet for the week, so let's do that. Well, to be completely honest with you guys, I didn't get a chance to watch as much wrestling as this week as I have been doing. This past week was crazy in terms of work what needed to be done. So, you know, I hate the idea that I missed Dynamite. I'm going to love hearing, I did read up on some things, but I do want to ask you a question once you guys get done telling me your thoughts on that. And then I can't wait to watch it to see if I'm a little bit right about probably what happened or not right. Okay. Cause I have a theory or something. Okay. All right. Let's get right into it. Sin City Steve, what you got, man? What was too sweet?
Dude, the way that you led into that, it's like the old how to keep an idiot in suspense. Like you leave the cliffhanger and I'm like, oh, well, shit. Do I even really want to talk? Because I want to get to your little question.
I tell you what. Let me start it off.
Lead off with it.
And then you can put it within. Okay. I think that Will Ospreay, and this, maybe you're about to be really shocked what I'm about to say. I really think that he is probably one of the greatest wrestlers of maybe of all time. I'm not saying that he is, you know, the absolute GOAT, but he is like top notch. And from watching him, I didn't watch the MJF match. And this is the reason why I can't wait to see it. And I'm curious to hear you guys' analysis on it.
Now you got me arching my eyebrows.
The problem I feel that's going to be an issue is when you have someone like Will Ospreay that is so damn good and who has fought some crazy matches with those in New Japan, it seems like then he has to dumb down, for lack of a better term, his style to match others like, now again, I haven't seen MJF, but when I've seen other matches that he's had, you're going, okay, you know, like he could do a lot more. Like, didn't he have a match not too long ago against Danny
Garcia?
Yes. Again, nothing against Daniel Garcia or anything. I mean, I saw it, but knowing what he does, that was a totally different match. And what I'm saying is, are we going to put ourselves in a situation that when we watch Will Ospreay, when he's having these matches, knowing what he's capable of doing, that we're going, dang, like, this is just not believable because we know he can do more. And that's what I'm curious. When you have a match that went as long as you're going to talk about with MJF, did MJF really in that entire time show that he can hang with Will Ospreay, do the things that he does that makes it believable? That's where I want to start off with, and I'll let you take it from here on to speak for the day, weeks, and city.
Absolutely. So thank you, because that actually segues in perfectly. Let's talk about that match.
All right.
59 minutes, 58 seconds. The thing is, I think that more than it being Ospreay dumbing his style down, I think this speaks to how complete a professional wrestler he is, because he can work these types of matches against a varied group of opponents. So, I mean, obviously not everybody is going to be able to work a Will Ospreay high-flying type of a match, But the beauty of it is that Will Ospreay can cater his style to complement whoever he's in the ring with, no matter who it is. The thing is, the match itself was all over the place. They brawled up into the crowd, you know, had some comedic spots up there, but
little girl got some chops in.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a, you know, like a 3-4-year-old girl that definitely got her licks in, and MJF flipped her off after she was done, which was and
good chops on him.
Yeah. But yeah, so the match ended after, of all things, gotta love callbacks, right? MJF pops Ospreay with the Dynamite Diamond Ring and gets the 1-2-3 and takes the international title. I wonder who called for that last week on this show.
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, I think that they accomplished exactly what they needed to do with that match. Now, obviously, the match, for whatever reason, was extremely polarizing on the internet, because we all know and love the IWC. Some people have called it, you know, one of the best matches, if not the best match in Dynamite history. I don't think it's that high. I definitely put it in the top 10, but it's not the best match in Dynamite's history. I will actually, I'm going to talk about the reaction in a future segment. That should kind of tee that up a little bit too.
All right.
Collision had a completely different presentation this week though. Single tier of seating. It was very, very different. The staging looked, it was a wider type of a stage, and it looked more, it looked very similar to something that would be done and utilized in CMLL or a higher tier New Japan show. So yeah, really wide video monitor, really wide video wall. I like the look of it. And they, evidently Tony Khan let the lease lapse on the Elton John song. So evidently Saturday night is not all right for fighting anymore. And we got some random, yeah, song that sounded almost on tier with Def Rebel. So yeah, fun times there. But yeah, Collision is in that venue until All In. So they're testing out a residency program. So okay. They're actually going to be in the same building for the next 5 weeks. So they were working out some kinks with the audio issues, as I'm sure we'll talk about later. But they had about 2,000 people in the audience, but they had the crowd mic'd up enough to where it sounded like they there were double, maybe even triple that.
Okay, cool. So all right, let's jump over to you, Rob. Too Sweet. What did you have for this week?
First of all, the MJF match with Will Ospreay, obviously, you covered most of it. The thing I will say is we're skipping out on TNA Slammiversary, and we have a new World Heavyweight Champion, Nick Nemeth. And it was an elimination match, and Moose got eliminated early on. And we have in that a new heel turn for the Walking Weapon. So,
What?
Oh, kick Joe Henry in the ball. I believe in Joe. You know, like a,
I gotta go back and watch that. I've always been a Josh Alexander fan. He went heel, huh? Yeah.
So, dude, now we have some really great stuff coming out of TNA, and it's making me wonder: is it, were we elevating TNA to where it's like NXT TNA? That's what's coming, and it's getting better. It's getting better and better and better. The match on Dynamite was incredible. But I want to get into some what the fuck's on that one later. Because as good as it was it was good on one place and bad in somewhere else. So we'll get to that later.
Okay, no doubt. Just to throw out there, I thought Raw did a good job, especially when it came to the promo between Damian Priest and Gunther. I thought that was done perfectly. You don't get to see a lot of promos, especially with Gunther in it. And it was just so well done. from both that it really kind of finally got me somewhat excited about seeing this match at SummerSlam. So very good job in how they presented that. And then come after that, Priest end up taking down Braun. I'm like, okay. So, you know, they're building up Priest as best as they can. And, you know, listen, it's good to see that he finally did get the belt. I think he's doing the best as he can with it. I have nothing.
He's doing good for a guy who lost the belt and was allowed to keep it.
You know, but anyway, that was a great segment that I enjoyed from Raw. There was also a match. Well, if I had to give a two sweet on match, it's a tough one for this week. Now, again, I didn't get to see throw Dynamite in there, and I didn't even really get a chance to see NXT. But the Sami Zayn and Ilya Dragunov, I like that before, of course, it got interrupted. And the best one I love was on SmackDown, Carmelo Hayes and El Idolo Andrade. I thought that those two matches were really good from this past week on WWE. Great storytelling, but overall just fantastic matches. So that's where I stand on that. All right, but who needs the love out there? We need to find out, and let's get right to it. All right, Mr. Bossilary, is there anybody you're like, man, this guy needs just a little more love out there?
I get back to the same thing as I'm going to say actually right now, and I don't know if he's hurt, but they haven't been using him right. Hook, I forget what's going on there, but they
ran an injury angle with him.
They're running an injury angle with them. The other one is the same. It's you know, what's going on with all these Ring of Honor guys who are way better than this? You know, we've got these guys out there that we're not seeing at all, and name is blanking on me because we haven't seen him. Our best Ric Flair impersonator, Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
Where has he been? Okay, where has he been? If you're going to bring out Jeff Jarrett and have him cut some serious stuff and being, you know, and be a ring guy and all this, if you're going to bring in all these guys, where is Jay Lethal? Is he at a point where I guess he figures he's winding down so he could just come out and just make those sparse visitations? I don't know why we're using him, and I don't know why we're at least using him as a manager versus Sanjay Dutt, because he's way the hell more entertaining than Sanjay Dutt. If you get him with some coffee in him, have him, you know, when he used to be Macho Man in TNA as well as Ric Flair and go to Hogan, I got the energy going through me, brother, and Hogan's playing along, and I'm like, yeah. Okay, let's do it. Let's have him come in every week as another active wrestler. I would love to see him do have a booking where he insults a wrestler each week. You know, yeah. And also make a joke out of it. Like, he doesn't have a belt, so it's just every week Jay Lethal comes out there and insults you, and now he's going to have a Jay Lethal like a mirror match where he dresses up like you. Like, imagine if, like, they played Ospreay's music. Dun, 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 hi! And then he comes like, hi, what's good, bruv? And he came out with a blonde wig on. See, you're loving that. That would be great. And it would be fun. It would be fun versus everybody.
Well, I mean, if he's going everybody impressions, heel. I don't see that could be something that would be, I guess, a great comedy act for him. Mm-hmm. Listen, you ever want to see, see me pop, then you let Jay Lethal end up somewhere in WWE, because I used to always want that. And I always was told, and I know I get it and I do believe it, but they were like, nope, because of his age. And I go, okay, I didn't understand.
But if he was on the mic, put him on commentary, put his ass on commentary. How good would that be? And you know where I'd want to see him on commentary? This will seal me. You'll get me watching NXT. Put him on NXT.
Well, first off, NXT is already great. You don't have to have it. You should be watching it already. What's his name?
You didn't watch it.
Well, I was working. I haven't got a chance, but I know.
The same kind of jobs.
Oh, Jesus. That's what you think. I'm a hustler. Anyway, let me move over to you, Sin City Steve. Well, anybody out there you think needs some love?
You know, I'll tell you, man, someone else that's a hustler is Konosuke Takeshita. He's over in Japan right now competing in the G1 and just had, you know, night one of the G1 was yesterday. Okay. And he got his first win over Yota Tsuji, who is a guy that they're grooming to be like their next big thing. He's a really
obligatory
really,
Matt Michaels joke. So you're saying he needs to climax?
Exactly.
He's got a climax.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He saw Miss Monane climaxed.
Oh god.
That's Okada, but yeah, I can see where the confusion was.
Still.
So Takeshita, he went out and beat Yota Tsuji in the first night of the G1, which definitely bodes well. Wasn't a match of the year candidate or anything, but the dude also presented himself like he was a fucking star. He got some good presentation from New Japan, and they ran a press conference leading up to day one. And he was there in, you know, an extremely nice suit. It looked like it was perfectly tailored for him. Mm-hmm. Looked like a million fucking dollars. And yeah, if they can do anything along this line in AEW after the G1, then I'm definitely on board. And I'm hoping that's the direction that we're going to go. Because
did they pay to laser that ward off his nose?
I didn't even notice, but in any event, Takeshita needs some love. So
yeah, gotcha. Our guy John, as always, we always appreciate you, man, hanging out with us. You've been definitely throwing all the information in the chat, and I love it. But where is the love for Thunder Rosa after dropping three straight matches to Deonna Purrazzo? He says, I guess you'll be joining Stephanie Van Kerr in NXT at this rate. So yeah, there is that.
She always has a backup. She could just do commentary for Busted Open the rest of her life.
She also cut a promo that was released to the AEW social media team that'll probably run on Dynamite, because obviously it was after the Collision match. But I don't know if she's teasing a gimmick change or, you know, an attitude change or something to that effect, but it definitely felt that direction from the promo itself.
All right. Well, let's take a look at this week's WTF. All right. I'm going to start with you, Sin City. Steve, did you find any WTFs this week?
All right, man. Start the clock. Dude, it's 2024. First off, can the what chance please go the fuck away?
What?
I mean, this shit's been over 20 years. It's fucking annoying. Obviously the people at Dynamite bought their ticket. They can cheer, they can boo, they can heckle, and hell, they can even what if they like. But I can also offer my opinion, and that opinion is that y'all can go fuck yourselves. it doesn't do anything positive for anybody in the segment whatsoever. Right.
What'd you just say?
Realistically, I see what you're trying to do, Rob. You know, speaking of the fans, the amount of copium that I've seen online with the whole MJF and Ospreay match, it is just that it was too good to be given away for free, and that the match was way too long. Well, good. That's your opinion as well. But the only problem is when you shit on something, just because it has one acronym attached to it as opposed to another acronym, well, that's just a sign of blind delusion. Unfortunately, also because of review bombers that literally created spam accounts on cagematch.net, they were forced to make some serious changes to their site, their terms of service.
What?
Just because people went in and review bombed the Ospreay MJF match at 0 stars. And
oh my god.
It's unfucking believable how childish some of these motherfuckers are. It's unreal.
Or it's Tony Khan doing it, and then he'll say that it was Triple H doing it and sending people to reverse psychology.
Rob, you're a fucking conspiracy theorist. Also, a definite WTF for Tony Schiavone as Mariah May was standing in the middle of the ring before a promo, clearly drawing it out. And Tony Schiavone just simply says, speak, bitch. Come on now. it caught monsters off guard. It caught me off guard. And what? I literally said,
yeah, that was so good. Fuck? Oh, God. Hey, whoa, hey, guy. Whoa, guy. You don't want to be saying that, you know? Hey, guy. Yes, was like,
exactly. Jesus. Exactly. Wow. And, you know, also, we talked a little bit about Collision. We talked a little bit about Collision. I think that it's definitely a net positive, them going to the smaller venues. I've been advocating for that for God knows how long, as long as they've been having the issues with drawing the attendance.
Right.
Yes, there was only one level of seating in the venue, but it's better than booking a large arena or even a medium arena and not filling it halfway up. The thing that I'll mention as well, you're going to be there for a month. Get your fucking audio issues fixed. They always seem to run into audio issues at random times, and it was no different on this show. They need to fucking get this shit together. And then lastly, Mercedes Moné had an open challenge for the TBS title, and it got filled by Nyla Rose. Anybody with their right mind that thought that Nyla Rose actually had a chance of beating Mercedes Moné in this match was on a fucking other planet. The first match of Dynamite had the unpredictability factor, and then it was almost like as if this match was just a job match that was stretched out for longer than it needed to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's the thing is I'm not saying anything negative about the effort that Nyla put forth or that Mercedes put forth. They both worked really hard. But, again, when you go into a match and you know instantly who's going to win and who's not going to win, it definitely can take you out of the match and break that immersion. But in any event, what the fuck?
Got you. I feel you there. John says, WTF to the MJF Ospreay match being longer than all 3 hours of match time on Raw combined.
But is that an insult to Raw or is that an insult to Dynamite?
41 minutes. Wasn't it like 41 minutes of actual bell-to-bell wrestling on Monday Night Raw? I think that I saw that it was like 41 minutes of actual in-ring time over a three-hour show.
Yeah. He also added in WTF to the second half of Dynamite. It felt way rushed, and it would have been great to have it for 3 hours. So
coming soon. Coming soon.
All right, I heard it first.
Hey, there's it's not a strange coincidence that AEW programming started showing up on Max for subscribers in France.
Oh boy,
there you go. Well, let me go over to you, Rob. What WTFs did you find this week in pro wrestling?
First of all, the big match. There was controversy in the match with Ospreay and MGF because of the bad refereeing. And this was something said a long, long time ago. If you have a straight-up match, not a street fight, not a false count anywhere, not a triple threat match, not an holds bar, and you bring out a table and you put somebody through a table, the match is fucking over. Twice now with MGF have they done this, where somebody brings out a table inexplicably, somebody goes through the table, and the match keeps going. They did it with the Kenny Omega match and MJF. And I was watching this going, why are we allowing this? And then you're bringing it out into the fans. It's an Iron Man match. It's their way of saying, we did, but we didn't have an Iron Man match. Josh Alexander did one with our friend Kung Fu-y, and you know, Speedball Mike Bailey, and it was one of those things. I think it just missed an hour by a few minutes, like 54 minutes, and you go, okay, let's just call it an Iron Man match. Fine, it's an Iron Man match. He doesn't do the Tiger Driver 91. Soon as I saw that with a minute left to go, I said, shit, you telegraphed that ending. But I didn't mind that. I minded the fact that the referee's letting a match go outside of the ring for like 3 minutes. We're not talking about they ran up and ran down. They dragged it out. And again, you're going to do the table shot. What? And they're going, oh, that's good. MJF took off the rope buckle, the cover on the rope buckle, so he can get better traction when he jumps off the... Why is he doing any of that? Why aren't any of you going, wait, why is he doing that? You know? That's my first problem with that. When we see Mercedes Moné, if she was a newbie, and you see this scrappy little chick that has the same kind of build as, you know, Red Velvet, and you put in Nyla Rose, and Nyla Rose is hitting all of her signature moves, where you got this 300-pound She-Ra landing on the back of your neck, you know, from the top rope, and you're dangling over the top. All of the signature moves, and then you get, like, a roll-up, and then you do a choke-out. I don't believe anywhere in any universe that you're going to sell me on that move. If you would have done a Meteora, something to that effect that she's known for doing and pretty successful with, but the finish didn't land for me. I don't believe you're choking this woman out, with a freaking neck bigger than my entire torso. But that's my point. That's my point. Mm-hmm. You're choking out a dude. You're choking out a dude, and that's your finish. You know, we're not talking about an early stage. We're talking about where you're choking out Michael Phelps. Like, you know, like I don't believe this. Okay, like, you know. Like, you know, Marshawn Lynch. Hold on. Marshawn Lynch wants to be a woman tomorrow, and then Mercedes Moné is going to choke her out. Get the fuck out of here. I'm not buying that. Make the move. Make it believable. When they had Sammy Callahan fighting Tessa Blanchard, she was executing moves like the Magnum. She was executing moves where she's flying from the top rope. She's letting momentum take her. She does not have the weight advantage, so she's using momentum to carry through half the damn moves, and she sold it. I believed it. I do not believe that you're choking out Nyla Rose. What the fuck is that?
I got you. All right. Let it all out, is what they say in the WTF portion. All right. We're going to move over to the next, though, which is the lookout. I know there's some things we're excited to look out for. So let's see. I mean, man, we got SummerSlam coming up, and the card is coming together pretty nice. So I know I'm looking forward to that. Let me see. Rob, is there anything you're looking forward to? What are you exciting to see upcoming?
I forgot one thing, but it'll get into a lookout.
All right.
For the last 2 weeks, SmackDown has done the same exact lineup and the same exact show for the last two freaking weeks with Randy Orton getting the shit kicked out of him and you know, Cody getting the shit kicked out of him. So I'm like, oh, God. All right. They're just trying to buy time. Keep going, guys. Keep going. What do you want me to do? Just do what you did last week. Do it again. That being said,
well, last week was Randy Orton and this week was Kevin Owens, but it was the same concept in terms of Cody watching them do what they did.
Right. And yeah, here's my thing with that. I think the payoff's going to be worth it. I don't like when WWE repeats itself, but it's also done. That repetitiveness is done to put me in the exact position I'm in now where I'm anxious to see something. So I'm annoyed, but I'm annoyed with this purpose that I really, really, really want to freaking see Paul Heyman show up with Roman Reigns. Yes. Tala Tonga, Hikaleo, God of Destiny, you know, Call of Duty 4. I want to see him, you know, come out. And I want to see this. And I'll say it again. And the other thing I want to see is if you are going to have this woman who has, I think, some talent in the fact that she's kind of a bruiser and Nia Jax, and she's butchering these women in the ring, fine. She does not have to win, but if you're going to do something, either have somebody from the bloodline interfere on her behalf, pick somebody, either have somebody to either time it out where somebody from the good bloodline helps her out, or somebody from the bad bloodline helps her out, so she picks a side, because she's been doing this shit off and on for 3 months. So I want to see her in some iteration of the bloodline as a women's bloodline member, as the auxiliary Revolutionary War women's chapter of the bloodline. I don't know what you want to call it.
Put your own storyline right now.
Yeah, but it's fine, but she's not going to go anywhere, because here's the problem. She sucks on the mic. She's never going to be good on the mic. So the only thing I can hope is either someone's going to help her win, and then she has a mouthpiece, kind of like when Bobby Lashley had, you know, freaking Leo Rush. Give her something like that. She's got, you know, Tiffy time talking for her. Fine. Or WWE gods, please use your fucking sense. She's 6 foot tall, all right? She can bend me into a pretzel. I was wrong with the other one. I was wrong with her. I admit it. But she was still hot. But put her in. Cargill was hot. Put her in. Still want to have my kids. Put her in some iteration of the Bloodline. However you want to do it. Have her take some of these weaker wrestlers and have her throw them off stages into tables. Have her put them in chokeholds. Drop and, you know, squash them. Do things that is within her strength and wheelhouse to do, and sell her as a part of this freaking family. The Rock showed her on the family tree. Do it. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay. All right. Well, let me go over to you, Sin City. What are you looking forward to?
All right. So I have to make mention of John's comment that he threw into the chat, where he says, be on the lookout for Will Ospreay defeating MJF via the Tiger Driver 91 at All In. The other one's pretty funny too, but
yeah,
you know, I would almost offer up one other thing. From the sound of MJF's promo, I don't think that they're going to run it back at All In. I think that they are genuinely going to go the direction of having MJF defend that international title against Pac. And the reason being is Pac won a number one contenders match for that international title. So if that happens, that leaves Will Ospreay with no real path to a match at All In. So
he could be really hurt.
Who?
Ospreay. They had to pop his shoulder back in the place. He was screaming bloody murder in the middle of that match.
That was as of right now, there's no injury with Ospreay. So what I would offer up is this. Tony Khan, I know that you or someone in your office watched this show.
Absolutely.
I would urge you to, you know, throw us a bone by doing this. Why not play up the John Cena angle from a couple of years back, where they made a big old ordeal of John Cena not having a WrestleMania opponent? And then he threw out an open challenge. That open challenge obviously ended up being The Undertaker. But you're trying to pop a rating. Why don't you have Will Ospreay cut a promo a couple of weeks before All In saying, I have no challenger. I have no real path to a match. And that there's an open challenge. The very next week, the go-home show to All In, because you don't give the shit away for free. Instead, what you would do is have that open challenge answered by the one and only Ricochet. And that's what you do at All In. You do Ricochet versus Will Ospreay at All In. That is the best stage possible for a debut for Ricochet, and that is the best stage possible for Will Ospreay's breakthrough superstar solidifying match. So, outside of that, obviously there are a lot of things leading into All In, but before that, Blood and Guts is next week, man. It's Wednesday. Swerve, the Acclaimed, Mark Briscoe, and Darby fucking Allin somehow versus the Young Bucks, Hangman Page, Okada, and Jack Perry in that double steel cage. Also, you're going to have Chris Jericho versus Murder Grandpa Minoru Suzuki. That's going to be a clusterfuck and a half. Here's why we won't be getting Undertaker versus Undertaker, John. Mariah May will be debuting her new gimmick, which I'm guessing that they're just going to import the gimmick from Stardom here. So they're just going to have her be the glamour here. So that's probably what they're going to do. I wouldn't be surprised if they temporarily put the Timeless gimmick on hold for Tony and have her go back to, you know, being herself. And then after All In, after she loses the title, She takes some time off TV, maybe comes back with the timeless gimmick again.
She's the female Jeff Hardy now. I mean, Matt Hardy. She's the female Matt Hardy.
Dude, she can do so fucking much. And somebody that really doesn't get a lot of point, a lot of praise, I should say, is RJ City. RJ City's been really heavily involved with the entire Mariah May, Toni Storm angle. And that's been, quite frankly, their hottest angle leading into All In.
But he was good to take himself out of it when he was in all of those commercial vignettes and they just made no sense. He was good to take himself out of it and let her shine on her own. That was good.
Agreed. So, and then obviously, as was mentioned earlier, the New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 Climax is just getting kicked off. Elsewhere of note, on night one, Shingo Takagi defeated the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion Tetsuya Naito. Thus, as is always the protocol, anytime the world champion is pinned, the person that pins the champion earns a future world championship shot. And both of these guys are in the same faction. So very cool stuff there. Anybody who watches Japanese wrestling knows just how good Shingo is. And even with Naito being a shell of his former self, I think that we're going to get a very solid match out of those two as well.
All right. Good stuff. All right. We're going to go to the best in show. Let's see what you guys ranked as this week's best shows. You know, I have to mention, whenever there's not of, you know, not having Matt Michaels on the show eliminates a lot of WWE talk. But
dude, you're the host. You got all the buttons right in front of you. You could book yourself to have like 5 minutes per segment, man.
That is true. Hold on. There we go. Ah, now it's time for the WWE segment. Yeah. All right.
And you also got to add more time on the clock for all the times he freezes up. And then we have to decide whether or not. Is he still in this? And then he has to spend another 2 minutes catching up with what we said and complaining about what we said.
No, it's all good. I will say my best in show for this week. I got to give it to Raw. I thought Raw was really good in terms of getting good matches. I mentioned the one when it came to Sami Zayn and Ilya Dragunov. I liked that match. The promos was on fire with Damian Priest and Gunther. Also, Drew McIntyre. I have always been on Team Drew from the beginning. I know a lot of times me and Matt Michaels used to always go at it, Rob, before you jumped on, because he hates Drew. I love Drew, and Drew is just on fire right now.
He's awesome right now.
Yeah, and just great promo that he did. I mean, he pretty much had the match in his hands. He couldn't do the one thing, and that's apologize to the referees for that attack he did during the after show of Money in the Bank. Just great overall. I thought Raw.
You should be bloody apologizing to me.
You know,
screwing me over and over.
Yeah, and Rhea Ripley, of course, she came to address the WWE Universe, which means, you know, hey, live. And I'm loving how Dominic just doesn't seem to know what to do. He doesn't.
I just want everybody to know you're my girl.
Get off of me, Liv. Get off of me.
Right.
Oh, God.
I love it. So, all right. So, for me, I thought Raw did a great job between that and SmackDown, which were the only two shows I got a chance to see. But let me go over to you, Rob Basileri. What was your top
show for this past week? Anniversary took home the gold. They had so many belts changed. They had so much happen. They crammed 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag and then lit it on fire and sprinkled gold dust on it. I mean, it was, you have new champion, you have screw jobs or heel turns. You've got freaking tag matches, Mustafa Ali versus Mike Bailey. Great. We had the freaking Rascals New Catch Republic. Poor Catch Republic. Yeah, it's like, I don't know where these Republic Catch Republic names are coming from, but we had so much content in that pay-per-view, and they're elevating themselves, which is really great. I would love to see an NXTNA logo made. And then
they're already all over the internet, bro.
Yeah. NXT TNA, and then just have it their Forbidden Door. NXT TNA presents.
What was your show this week, Rob?
I was at the Dirty at 12:30, if that's what you're referring to.
No. What was your wrestling show this week that you're what was your TNA. Best? TNA. Oh, TNA, gotcha.
Slammiversary. That was Slammiversary. Gotcha. Too big to ignore. Sorry.
Gotcha. No doubt. All right. Sin City Steve.
I'm going to say AEW Dynamite, but I do have to say the Impact show, I saw several of the matches. I didn't see the show in full. Props to Rob's somewhat favorite person, at least to impersonate on the TNA roster. Speedball Mike Bailey walked away with the X Division Championship. So that had to be awesome. AEW Dynamite, the fucking opening match, obviously everybody's got an opinion on it, it seems like. It was fucking great. Elsewhere, you know, the main event, you knew it was going to be a schmoz, that it was going to break down and that you would be left with, you know, all five of the guys from, you know, each team kind of squaring off, building to blood and guts next week. So, yeah, they did exactly what they needed to do. And for those people that want to talk ratings, we're starting to see some ratings rebound. Thank God. now, if only they can continue the positive momentum. They are in the home stretch for their TV rights negotiation. This is the most vital time for them. So hopefully they don't fuck it up.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. A lot of little conversation happening here on the side with the PCO NXT comment. So, hey, definitely if you happen to be online, jump online. Be a part of the comments. Let's have a lot of fun with this, although we're getting close to the very end of the show. There is trying to think. Is there anything else I want to throw out there?
There was one thing I wanted to throw out there. There is rumors that Riho might be on NXT, that she's been talking with Hunter. She was at Clash of the Castle, and they're tapping her to be a member of the NXT roster.
For Riho?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. Hmm. I mean, if that's true, whatever. I hope that ain't the case, but whatever. And Sin City, do you want to do it? I think Travis want to challenge your ratings rebound. Do you want to go there, or you want to?
No, I think he was talking about Riho thing.
No, well, that's that. But he had mentioned. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. So I mean, their ratings just a month ago were in the shit, and they're still in the shit. But, you know, any port in the storm, any positivity that can be, you know, that can be claimed, they're going to try to fucking claim it. And it is what it is.
Well, they had a little bit over 700,000, right?
It's still good numbers. It could be they've had much better. They've had a million here and there.
Absolutely. But. Absolutely. Cody actually had he kind of took the mask off a little bit in his interview with Chris Van Vliet this week. So he made mention that AEW has run off its fans, which I will not deny that whatsoever. Yeah. If you look at it, numbers don't lie. But who's to say that, you know, they only have to continue in one direction.
Right.
That's ultimately what I'm trying to get across with this.
Right.
Is yes, you can course correct. Yes, you can make changes. And that is something that they are doing. Dynamite this week was extremely hyper focused. Obviously, one match took up half your show. But even on top of that, the things that were presented were extremely focused. Generally on Dynamite, you'll have 12 intersecting storylines, or, you know, things that they've trying to put together, 12 different segments, a lot of craziness and chaos. But it seemed like as if the last couple of weeks, things have been a lot more concentrated. They're drilling in on fewer storylines and actually giving them time, giving people more time on the microphone, allowing those characters to start to be developed. So that, it, you know, they're making some changes. And yeah, it, right there, you know, Raw is course corrected post Vince. Absolutely, they have. Absolutely, they have. Because there was a time when Vince was running the show, when the points were, it looked like as if they were about to intersect as far as the viewership numbers. And good for WWE. As a TKO stockholder, I am happy that they reversed course. I have no problem saying that shit. I don't see the logic in wanting any company, any professional wrestling company to fail in this current climate. I've never understood that.
Let me ask you this. What do you think brought in the extra ratings for this past week? Was it the highlight of the MJF and Ospreay? Because although the last 2 weeks where we were given props on the idea of Dynamite being good shows, it didn't have the numbers, you know, that it was actually as good. Now it's, this past week is jumped. Was it really these two guys that caused it? Or was it the last 2 weeks was maybe beginning to let people are reading and going, oh, it was a good Dynamite this week? Oh,
well, you have a Dynamite that ends with somebody gushing blood out of their head, and it's a woman doing that to another woman at the end of an Owen Hart memorial. So you go, oh, there was an Owen Hart championship, and we're acknowledging a past wrestler. That caught my attention. All right, it's Timeless Toni Storm, and you've got this Are They Lesbian vibe. They kept pushing that. It's a mom-daughter thing. It's a lesbian thing. It's really bizarre. And then she pops her skull open. That's my first thing I wanted to see was, it's Wednesday night. I want to see the reaction to that. I want to see what's going to happen next. Does she come out all black and like a...
Okay, so the week before that, ratings are down. Then people read or saw clips and said, oh, shit, look what happened to Toni Storm. Okay, I missed that. So next week, I got to watch to see what's happening because now, so this is the...
episodic pro wrestling.
Right.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. And they remember, and I've always said this, they were doing that 4 years ago. Remember when Moxley was battling Jericho and Jericho poked out his eye and you're like, oh, crap, what's going to happen next week? Oh, MJF is in freaking... is in Cody's corner. I don't know much about MJF. What is he screws him over. Mm-hmm. This was the kind of stuff, edge of your seat stuff. The only thing that's
the question is this, Rob, is if this is where we're at, where this is the rating of 795 that we have this week, according to John, do we have something in place then for this Wednesday to not only maintain that 795, but to even grow that? Have something been put in the place to make people say, we got to watch Dynamite then this week? Yeah. And that's, it has been. Okay.
Yeah. Blood and guts.
Yeah. Oh,
Blood and guts. War games. Literally.
Okay.
So that's going to be the big draw this week. And you know, it's another thing too, that they're building characters fucking finally, at least working on the emotional attachment, the things that we've been talking about for so long. Plus, let's call it what it is. There's a bit of a correlation there. Ever since MJF has come back, the numbers have started to go up. So MJF himself, dare I say, could be considered a draw himself.
Here's a problem. Here's the only problem I see. MJF, absolute draw machine. Great. Mm-hmm. They put a lot of ice on Swerve Strickland. He's very boring as of late.
Yeah, absolutely. His
promos are trash. He walks around and he looks like a wallflower, just this guy in the corner just going. And he's not connecting with audience. He did not connect with the Calvary audience at all. He did not connect with them at all. He did not acknowledge Bryan Danielson winning. He kind of glossed over that. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to be your leader in Blood and Guts. And then we've got to discuss some things. Your valet should not be more entertaining than you. The freaking Prince Nana dancing around should not be the most entertaining thing you've got to offer. You're good in the ring. He's toned up a little bit. Great. But he's not making connection on the mic anymore, which is amazing because when he started out, he was fire on the mic. And I don't know what's happening. But if MJF is bigger than him, Well, and Travis has got the right thing. Why is the world champion a gimmick cage match? We should
because he's the world fucking champion. And it's right. it's Team AEW. If he wasn't in the fucking match, people would bitch about him not being in the fucking match. People are never happy. Like it's unfucking believable to me.
But my attitude is different. My attitude is fine, put him in the match. He's got a title coming up soon, a title match coming up soon. Absolutely. And we're not addressing it really. It's kind of being swept under the rug. And it's like, hey, is one train of thought that I have is that Bryan Danielson's not going to be able to hold that title for very long, even if he does get it. Or he's going to swerve and say, hey, fuck it, I'm not retiring. And my daughter can wait a year. But he's another fragile Phil, that guy. That guy gets a zit and his career's over and he's got a freaking head trauma. So I don't know. Is it a foregone conclusion that he's going to lose Bryan Danielson? And that this is just – right. So why are we not raising the stakes? I would always want Bryan Danielson to be a super fucking heel and join Team Elite and go, put me in there because I want to kick the shit out of him. Have him give him a nut shot during a promo. Have him be the biggest fucking piece of shit ever and in preparation for his match. And then he could say later on, hey, look, I needed to do everything I could to piss you off and get the best Swerve Strickland because lately you've been acting like a bitch and you've been kind of sitting behind the scenes. Because when they had Moose, they were putting Moose on a throne at TNA and giving him a crown and having him draped and shit. This guy is just sitting there going.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
And don't get it twisted. I don't like Damian Priest's. You liked that promo? I didn't like that promo. That promo was it was less about Damian Priest and was more about Gunther being, oh, I used to be a fat shit and now I'm not. And I was the longest reigning intercontinental champion. I didn't get it all. And then Damian Priest just sits here with a smirk on his face because he doesn't have much to say. He's another one. He came in hot fire. And now he's the champion and he's boring. He's more of a baby face the way he's behaving lately. He did not know.
Well, I didn't have a problem with the promo. I thought the promo.
It was a Gunther promo, not a Damian Priest promo. It was about Gunther citing why he's accomplished so damn much. They've pretty much 86th Imperium when you really think about it. There's no Ludwig Kaiser. It's just Gunther, and Gunther never needed him. So Gunther can come out on his own. He can bring back his his lackeys later on if he needs to, but he really doesn't need to. And the thing with Gunther is he could be a good heel, whereas Damian Priest is now in this thing where he's been in this group for so long that they've lost their way. That's why it's funny when Rhea Ripley goes, why is Carlito in the clubhouse? And I'm like, wait a minute. When is this group of violent people? Why do they call it a clubhouse? You know, Disney has clubhouses. Fine. My apologies. I'm not knowing about Kaiser being injured. But you can go with or without Kaiser and still have shine on Gunther as a believable, arrogant heel. Whereas Damian Priest is just kind of cracking jokes all the time.
Okay, well, I hear you, and I appreciate everybody for hanging out with us because we're going to get ready to end this puppy, all right? And we'll do it all again next week. We'll have blood and guts to talk about and everything.
I have blood and guts like a Nile Rose surgery.
We're also getting close to the SummerSlam, which is getting exciting with some of the matches that we are building for that as well. A lot of things are coming up. Slammiversary, that happened. I have to get a chance to go back and watch that. I'm still shocked at the news. A heel turn by Josh Alexander. I do not want to believe that. But Nick Nemeth as champion, I'm with it. He should be. I mean, so shout out to him. I want to see how that all came together. I got to catch up with some things, but fellas, it was always good to see you. I'm going to give you your final thoughts. As always, everybody, let's do what we can to enjoy pro wrestling and respect and love one another because, hey, life is short. Don't need to go through life being angry. You know? So let's just try to enjoy what we do, all right? Just something to keep in mind as we take it week from week or day by day or some of us hour by hour. All right, final thoughts. I'm going to give it to you, Sin City. Steve, what do you want to tell everybody?
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special shout out and thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. Last but not least, repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 15%.
Awesome. And Rob, and I, this past week, I could tell you've been doing a lot of work out there in the comedy scene, man. You're hey, if you guys want to see this guy, you got to come check him out when you're in Vegas.
Tell us. Yeah, I just performed at the Dirty at 12:30 at South Point, about 300 plus people. One of the greatest shows I ever got a chance to do as well. And 2 hours earlier than that, I was at the New Woo Dispensary performing to about 100 people. Just absolutely freaking great. My thanks to producer and comedian Gabe Lopez for giving me that opportunity. They got to shade Donald Trump like they've never shaded before, believe it. We told some incredible stories.
So you did that at a dispensary?
Yeah.
So did people really think maybe he was there?
You know, the funny thing about that was they would not let me leave the green room because they didn't want me to. They didn't. The producers said, don't leave the green room. We don't want anyone to catch on to what you're doing beforehand. Which a couple of times I'm running around with this makeup on and people thought I was in blackface. And so I'm running through the halls of this dispensary because, you know, there was no sink in this. It was like one of those aero vans outside. And it's like, you know, one of those little things and there's no anything. So I'm running through with this makeup on. Thing is, I have shoe polish on my head because I also break into Obama. So this looks ridiculously bad. This looks really bad. And I'm running through in a suit with shoe polish and my bronzer on. And people just like, they don't know what to do, how angry to be. But every time I told a joke, there was like a 3 second delay and it was laughter, but it was like 3 seconds later. So I'd be like, very, 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 they take to me.
That's how that is. That's a dispensary performance, though. So that's the way it should be. It's on right timing, Rob. You just don't know. Exactly.
Excuse me. First of all, I'm very concerned for our nation because I have an opponent who bleeds once a month but never dies.
Oh Jesus. Okay, so everybody, we thank you for hanging out. We will see you next week. All right, and with that, peace.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.